your Bibles to the New Testament epistle of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's one provided for you under one of the chairs close to you, in front of you. Should be one that you can reach. If not, somebody will help you get one into your hands. Or you look on with your neighbor, everybody looking into the Bible today. What we normally do here is take a book of the Bible and then begin to systematically work through it each Sunday until we're finished. And then we take another book of the Bible and do the same thing. Today, we're going to focus on an issue that came out of some messages in our study of this book. If you'll follow along on your study sheet, you got your Bible open and your study sheet. I guess we need some tray tables, don't we? That you could fold down. Now, I know you're looking at your study sheets today and you're like, whoa, what happened today? There's a lot of notes. I wanted to give you a lot of notes and I'm going to be reading them today. I know it's a little bit different than normal, but I want you to have a thorough record of these things so you can contemplate them later, because it's a really important subject. All right, follow along by way of introduction. We'll try to get us all on the same page here as I read the opening paragraph. In the last three messages from Galatians chapters 1 and 2, and we worked our way through chapter 1, verse 10, all the way to the end of chapter 2 in a series of messages titled Paul's Defense of the Gospel Through His Testimony, Through His Personal Testimony. The last three messages from Galatians 1, we've seen how Paul's defense of the gospel was contended by presenting his personal testimony. Today, we'll turn aside from our textual study to address the importance of our own experiences. Don't you think that's a good thing to do? Today is important. The things we're going to talk about are more topical in nature. We're going to look at a lot of passages in the Bible, but you don't want to miss what's happening here today. This is very, very important in your Christian life. Perhaps the greatest witnessing or inspirational tool any of us possess is our individual story. Sarah was talking about that this morning before the young people sang. In this case, our life before we received Christ. We all have a story, don't we? Events surrounding our salvation. How did we get saved? And our personal life experiences since the time we got saved, looking ahead to our future. Our future walk with God. And this morning, we will examine practical issues surrounding this essential theme, our individual story, our personal testimony. The title of today's message is The Importance of Your Personal Testimony. Now, this message is taken from our overall text that we've been working through, Galatians 1, verse 10 through 20, or through 2, 21. And we're not going to work, obviously, through all these verses because we've already done that. But they launch us into our topical study today. And I want to begin by just reading a part of the Apostle Paul's testimony. He used all different aspects of his life experiences to try to convince the Galatians to leave this form of legalism that was being taught by false brethren. So let's read a portion of his testimony in chapter 1, look in verse 13. He says, "For ye," and he's speaking to the churches that are in the region of Galatia, "for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." He was in the Christian hunting business, even murdering Christians, martyring them. "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this testimony. There's many people in this room today, many people in this world, and I'm one of them, Lord. I think about my past before I got saved and how disgusting that it was. And so I'm thankful to read the testimony of what's probably the greatest Christian ever, that he was a killer, a religious zealot. But he didn't know the peace of Jesus Christ until he got saved. And so, Lord, I thank You for that testimony. I pray that it would be a good launching pad into this study today. I pray You'd speak to everybody's heart. And maybe, Lord, there's somebody here that's yet unsaved. Through the things that we're going to talk about, I pray that they'd see their need for Jesus Christ, and that they'd know that this is not about religion and that we're not a bunch of religious people gathered together, but people that have been saved by grace. People that are still sinners but have been forgiven of our sins and washed of our guilty stains. So I pray the lost would be saved today. I pray, God, for Your sake, that believers would walk closer with You to bring more glory to You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we begin, I want you to understand that this subject is just simply an overview. There are many details in today's study that require much further examination, much further explanation. I think, Jay, this might even be another subject for our Sunday school curriculum. I mean, we could talk about testimonies over weeks and weeks. We could have a whole series on it. Now, for some of you, these things are going to be rudimentary, but you're going to get something in here that's going to help you today. For others, it might be the first time you've ever thought of this subject in this same way. Now, all of us employ testimonies in some fashion every single day of our life, in either the Christian or the secular worlds. And this study is focusing primarily on our Christian testimony as believers in Jesus Christ, either to witness to a lost person, someone that has not received Christ as their Savior, or to encourage. This is a hard world we live in, isn't it? And we have opportunities where we want to encourage someone, whether they're unsaved or whether they know Christ, whether they're believers or not. And so we give our testimonies to encourage them, and also to inspire believers, other believers, to walk closer with Christ in some way or another. We always give our testimonies. Whoever you are, my prayer has been all week that we'll all learn something from the Lord this morning. All right, so let's begin in point number one, identifying your personal testimonies. Testimonies. Notice, it doesn't say testimony, but it's plural, testimonies. You know, many believers hear the word testimony. Can you give a testimony? And they immediately think every time that it's always about your salvation. But it's not always about your salvation. There's not just one type of testimony. In fact, there are differing types of testimonies. Look at all those scripture passages. Look, I got worn out. I mean, I'm not just saying this. I'm not exaggerating. I could have filled the whole page with scripture references. You know why? This book is all about people's testimonies. It's loaded with one testimony after another after another. And I listed some very interesting testimonies here, all representing the testimonies that I'm going to talk about this morning. So I recommend that you spend some time reading through all of these scriptures. And I know that they'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. And we're going to look at some of them this morning. I know you were looking at that and you're scared, weren't you? Oh, no. Oh, no. What time are you guys leaving for Mexico? Tuesday. We'll finish by then, I hope. So at any rate, we're not going to look them all up. We're going to look at some of them. And so let's look at some different types of testimonies that's represented by all of these scripture references. First on our list is salvation testimonies. And there are many, many purposes to your salvation testimony. And I kind of listed them. It doesn't necessarily mean one is more important in the order. But I have first listed to edify other believers. Don't you guys love to hear people's salvation testimonies? Man, I love to hear salvation testimonies. I love to tell my salvation testimony. Many years ago, I worked in the home medical equipment field. And we had a business down in New Philadelphia, Ohio, a successful business, where we delivered and set up medical equipment in people's homes. And we would have many folks that were terminally ill that we helped, that we provided durable goods for. And they were cared for in their own privacy of their own house. And I'll never forget an encounter I'd had with an older gentleman on the phone. And I was I got an order from his doctor, and so I was kind of filling this prescription, and I contacted him and was talking to him. And we had a very interesting conversation, and I felt terrible for the guy. His adult daughter was dying. She was in the final stages of cancer, and she was dying. She was going to pass away, and we wanted to make her as comfortable as possible before that happened. And just the conversation I had with this guy, it was really sweet. And so I just felt this great burden. And I probably was newly saved, or at least not far removed from getting saved myself. And I got saved later in life as an adult. And so I just felt so burdened. Did you ever talk to somebody? And I mean, you're burdened for lost people. We all are. But you ever talk to somebody and you're exceptionally burdened for them? And where your heart is like, man, I feel for them. Well, that's how it was with me with this guy. And so I started witnessing Christ to him. And he was listening to me and making some comments. And I ended up sharing my testimony with him. And we talked probably longer than I should have because I was at work. But we probably talked for 15 or 20 minutes. And I got to the end. And after sharing great details with him, I got to the end, and he said that he was a born-again Christian and that he also had gotten saved and that he loved the Lord. And I got to admit, I was like, why didn't you? I mean, I wasn't mean to the guy, I mean, especially with what's going on, but I was disappointed. Because I thought, why did we have this lengthy interaction? Are you guys with me on that? I mean, like, why didn't you just tell me you were a Christian right up front? Why didn't you give me some indication that you also were a believer? And I didn't say this in a mean way to him, but I presented that to him. Man, I wish you would have known. I wouldn't have talked so much. And then he said something that is forever etched on my heart. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Just thinking about it brings it back to me. I just was very moving. He said, "Oh, I just wanted to have you keep talking." He said, "'Cause I loves to hear that story." And I said, "Gotcha." He wanted me to keep talking. Because he loved to hear that story. And that's how I feel. So our salvation testimony isn't just a witnessing tool. It's a way to encourage other believers. Because we all love to hear that story, don't we? But it's also a tool to witness the gospel of the unsaved, as I thought I was doing with this gentleman. You know, most lost people think that if they just have an intellectual concept, yes, I believe in God. I mean, isn't that what people say that don't understand the Bible or the gospel? Isn't that what they say? They say, I believe in God, and they somehow think that that is okay. Or, you know, hey, yeah, oh yeah, they'll listen to music and they'll see the clouds in the sky. And I'm not belittling that. I would kind of experienced some of those things. And I got this warm, fuzzy feeling and thinking, yeah, you know, like, how many of you remember the old Crocodile Dundee movies? Huh? How many of you? You're Baptist, you shouldn't have been watching that kind of stuff. But old Mick Dundee says, yeah, me and God, we'd be mates. We'd be friends. Well, based on the fictional character of Mick Dundee, don't think so, Mick. But that's what people think. Think if they have some knowledge of God or they believe in the existence of God, they're going to go to heaven someday. But you know what? They need to hear why and how you got saved, and in it, maybe it will speak to their heart. You know, they need to know that you made a decision to receive Jesus Christ. So it becomes a tool to witness the gospel to the unsaved. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a while here in this message. But I think that's one of the most crucial points, don't you? That you came to a point of decision. That you came to a crossroad. And I don't know about how it worked for you, but I came to many crossroads. And I decided not to receive Christ on many of those crossroads. But praise the Lord, He kept working in my life. He kept using things to bring me to another crossroad and another until I did receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm thankful God never gave up on me. How about you? Very thankful for that. So it's to edify other believers. I love to hear that story. It's a tool to witness the gospel to the unsaved. But perhaps the greatest reason we all need to give our personal salvation testimony is to bring glory to God. Plain and simple, salvation testimonies bring glory to God. So all believers need to glorify God with their story. What an opportunity we have to give thanks to God. What an opportunity we have to give all the credit to God. You know, because a lot of people think, you know, especially my old friends, they think, gang, he just cleaned up his life. I didn't clean nothing up. I was a mess that needed cleaned up, that's for sure. A hot mess that needed cleaned up, but God cleaned me up. And He changed me from the inside out. I used to be in a violence self-help group because I got in trouble because I was so violent in my past. And they used me to this, I don't know about to this day. I said that years and years ago. I really don't know anymore. But they used me as a case study internationally of the success of their program. Because I was completely transformed. But I was transformed. I'd be like, no, it was the Bible and Jesus Christ that changed me. And I really was changed. Their program helped me, but didn't change me from the inside out. It just could fix things on the outside, but couldn't get to the root of the problem. You know what the root of the problem is? Me. That's the root of the problem. I needed a complete transformation, and that can only happen through Jesus Christ. It cannot happen any other way. This isn't about cleaning up your life. And when that happens, it brings glory to God. Your life is a living testimony that brings glory to God for the great thing that He's done. Amen? So, salvation testimonies, and there are more aspects to that as well, but that's salvation testimonies. Then next on your list, there are inspirational or motivational testimonies. And these are personal accounts designed to motivate others, lost or saved, to do something they would not normally do for God. And that's a very good thing. Your story could be somebody else's story in their own personal way. That's what I hope. And it's also to encourage comfort or strengthen other believers in time of need. Hold your place here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Should be in Galatians, so it's just right next door to your left. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Can you say that that's true? I mean, no matter what you've been through, if you're a believer, you got through it. Just think how difficult the difficulties in life would be without Jesus Christ. I don't even want to think about it. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now watch. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, the difficulties or heartaches we experience in life become testimonies to others who are going through similar things. That would be an inspirational study where we come alongside and say, hey, I've been there. I understand. I've walked in your shoes. And you share those things to encourage, comfort, strengthen them in time of need. And not only that, but in addition, this inspirational testimony can be used to persuade or convince others to change their thinking. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. I mean, the Galatian churches have been inundated by false doctrine and false teachers saying it's really the truest, evilest form of legalism. We use that word very loosely today, but really legalism, biblically defined, is somebody who says you cannot be a genuine Christian unless you do and add these types of works, whatever those works may be. In this case, men had to be circumcised. Everybody had to follow the Mosaic law and add that to Christ in order to be saved. That is false doctrine, folks. That is damnable false doctrine, by the way. And so that's the legalism they were facing, and they were being confused. Genuine believers being confused by false doctrine. And so what we have in these first two chapters of Galatians, Paul uses his personal experiences to persuade these believers, to convince them to stop that. That isn't how you got saved. To change their thinking, he was persuading them with his story. And I just read part of that this morning in verses 13 through 16. And so let's pick up back up in verse 16 in chapter 1. He's saying, he told them, hey, you remember me? I was a Christian killer. And I was a religious zealot, but I was unsaved. But then I got saved. He might not have gave all the details. You can read those in the book of Acts and in other places where he refers to his testimony. And in verse 16, he says that he got saved because God had a plan for his life. And God has a special plan for your life, by the way. He really does. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went... And he's giving his story. He's explaining to them his experiences in life. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus also with me. And he starts explaining another aspect of his life experience to try to persuade within these experiences, within each one of these separate experiences. In the last 3 weeks, we've looked at three of them, right? He's persuading them to change their thinking. Look in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, chapter 2, verse 11, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed, for before that certain... And he starts working through this testimony that he has, this experience he had with Peter, that they would have all been aware of. Huh. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. We read testimonies of these very events back in the book of Acts where people were being persuaded about the one true gospel. Huh. It was inspirational. It was designed to motivate them. He's giving these past accounts to the Galatians and in other epistles to other people to defend the gospel, to change their mind about the false teachings that they had received. It's very powerful. And frankly, you do the same thing. You use these things, these testimonies. But did you ever think, boy, you know, it would be worth sitting down and really writing my thoughts out about such matters so that I could be more effective when I present these? Because let's just be honest about it. Come on, let's just be honest about it. I'll be honest with you about it. When I'm confronted out of nowhere where it catches me off guard, sometimes I'm like scared, afraid, and I kind of stove up. I'm not afraid to be a witness for Christ. I'm concerned that I want to give the right answer for Christ. That's the issue. Okay, so am I alone? All right, so raise your hand if you feel that way. Okay, who didn't raise their hand? I want you to come up and give us your testimony. Why you're not afraid. Now are you afraid? That's silly. Listen, inspirational testimonies are important. They inspire people. Some of them inspire. I've heard people's testimonies. I've heard people's testimonies that they were giving to another person, and it inspired me to do some of the things they were saying. Motivational. We're not talking about, motivational speakers. We're talking about things that move you deep inside your heart. You know, just the little blurb that, I don't mean to call it a little blurb. Where's Sarah? I don't mean to demean your, it was a short testimony. Blurb. Sorry. It's, as you were talking, I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, those people have a story. I'm like, and we didn't collaborate, by the way, on this, did we, Sarah? But they have a story. Everybody's got a story. Everybody is important. Do you know that? We should treat people with great respect, not just simply because it's the right thing to do or it's etiquette. We should treat people with respect because God shed His blood for them. He died for them. He loves them. Very, very important. So inspirational testimonies are important. Next, we have informational testimonies, and these could kind of spill over into inspirational testimonies, I guess. They're similar, but they're a little bit different because their primary purpose is simply to give us information, to give an accurate account of an event or circumstance that might aid in a decision-making process. Well, let me share that this might help you in making your decision. Let me tell you a story. You guys ever do something like that? So, informational-type testimonies. They're very important. Or this could be both types, for sure. To report on a mission trip to other believers or an entire church assembly. Didn't we just do that on Wednesday night? Didn't we just get testimonies? And they were reporting because, you know, we'd sent them out. And so we sent a whole team of people out. They came up front here and they went over to help our missionaries. And we just want to know what happened. Right? What did you do? If they just told us, yeah, boy, we enjoyed swinging in that hammock the whole time. Yeah, we went sightseeing every day, and then we'd be like, huh? What? You weren't working? I mean, we don't have that attitude, actually. I'm just kidding if you're a guest. But we want a report of what happened. But it's also inspiring at the same time, so they can spill over. Turn over to Acts chapter 14, holding your place in Galatians. Acts 14. Paul and Barnabas have just returned from their first missionary journey after being sent out from the church in Antioch, very much like our people were sent out to Ireland, very much like we're going to do with Jay and Courtney today. We're going to send them out They're not going on a vacation. They're going on a missionary journey. Boy, you're not going on any vacation, are you, Jay? Courtney, I guess you're kind of going on a vacation. I'm kidding. You'll be doing your share of work. I know the Browns, they're going to be assigning. The problem is they told Jay what he's going to do. Yours is a mystery that's going to unfold when you're there, isn't it, Court? So you're ready, aren't you? As best as you can be. So these guys go out on their first missionary journey. We'll pick up in verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch. Well, let's go back. Verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. It's so highlighted, I can't see the words there. Yeah, anyhow, Attalia. And thence sailed to, I couldn't see if it was an H or an L-I. All right. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work, which they fulfilled. So they were sent out from Antioch, and they went all over the place, and then they came back to Antioch. And when they were come, and they gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Wow! They gave a personal account of what happened. And it was inspiring, no doubt, but they had to give an account. They were sent out to accomplish a job, and the church needed to know how that job went. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they returned to their point of origin to give testimonies to the church and also to rest. And so I lump that into the informational type category. Now, it also would include any account rendering designed to provide needed information to someone. Where did you go? Where were you? What happened? Man, I've been praying for you about this particular meeting you had with this particular job interview or any number of things. How did it go? And then you give a testimony of how it went. How did it go when you talked to that friend you've been witnessing to? How did it go? It's not gossip. We want to know. We want some information so we know how to pray. How did your job interview go? You know, we want to know what's going on. There's some testimonies that are designed to provide just needed, important information. So I think you can see how you already use testimonies every day in some form or another. Do you guys agree with that? Okay. Now let's look at some biblical examples. I turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And here we have the woman at the well. Now, I'm not going to work through this whole story. We're just going to pull some things out here. This is a lost woman who apparently had been married and divorced many times. She's unsaved. And she has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Wow. Changes her whole life. And we'll pick up in verse 28. So she has this encounter with Jesus Christ. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come. I mean, that was her, without being in a, I don't want to be inappropriate, but that was her peer group, was the men of the city. She probably didn't have much of a testimony with the women of the city because they were probably all mad at her for various reasons. And sundry reasons. So she saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. So her testimony brought curiosity to the hearts and minds of the hearers, so much so that they wanted to know more. So we don't have every word that she spoke to them, but we have some of the words that she spoke to them. And it created an interest in them where they wanted to go. Turn to John chapter 9. This is quite a lengthy story. We're just going to read just some verses, parts of it. But this is a story about a young man who is born blind. And Jesus, he's born blind from birth. And Jesus had an appointment with this young man. And he gave him sight. He gave this young man sight. And I love his testimony. So he was blind, but now he can see. And if you look with me in verse 24, so this whole chapter is about this story. So this young man can see now, and he's out telling people. And plus, they can see that he can see. I mean, this guy's been blind from birth. So can you imagine? It's bad enough being blind, but at least somebody that was blinded later in life would understand what red and green and orange and what colors are, you know? They would understand when you talk about, you know, what landscape looks like and what stuff looks like. They have an understanding and a memory of that, whereas somebody born blind from birth, it's all clueless to them. It's just all hidden from them. And so he's out and about. Verse 24, then again called they the man which was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Hey, they're asking him all these details and all these questions. He says, look, I don't know. I don't know a lot about this Jesus. But here's what I do know. I ran into him. I was blind. And now, after having an encounter with him, I can see. That's it. So listen, all you are responsible for is to tell what you know. Don't sit around going, I don't know. Boy, I don't know a lot about the Bible. You know something, don't you? That's all you're... God is only requiring you to tell people what you know. Isn't that what a witness is? What if you go into a court of law and you're asked to be a witness and you tell things that you don't know anything about as if you do know about them? What's that called? A liar, a perjury. And that's a breaking the law. So listen, all you got to do is tell what you know. But watch. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and ye didn't hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. I mean, they're just all over this guy. And we know that God spake it to Moses, as far as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. What do you mean you don't know who? What do you mean you don't know where he came from? He just laid his hands on me and now I can see. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? We're so righteous. You're a dirty sinner. Boy, I don't ever come to the place where you think that, because I got news for you. You are all dirty sinners. And it doesn't matter how good or how righteous you act or how you dress or what words don't come out of your mouth. You're on your best day deserving of hell, but not so if you receive Jesus Christ. He is your substitute, your Savior. So... And they can't look, and it says the last part of the verse, and they cast him out. Boy, listen, self-will and pride will be the end of every man. Listen. But not this guy. So, he gave a defense of how he received his sight in an encounter with Jesus, but they did not believe him. And there's going to come a time when you'll be the only one who believes. I'm not saying on earth. I'm saying maybe in an environment you're in, like this guy. So stay true to what Jesus has done for you. Always. No matter what company or crowd that you're in, you stay true to Jesus Christ. We have that recorded for us here. Now all this to say, oh well, we don't want to miss, turn to Philippians 1. Well, you know what, just for the sake of time, we won't do Philippians 1. But in Philippians 1, Paul, you can read that later, Paul tells his story. This whole chapter is about his story. And each time he spoke, he simply shared his story of how God changed, that's your blank there, changed his life. And if you read that, there were people that were preaching the gospel of contention to try to get him in more trouble. And he said, "And I don't care as long as the gospel's being preached. It doesn't matter to me. I'm glad." And listen, he relied on his personal testimony, because one of the most convincing, unanswerable arguments on earth regarding Christianity is your personal testimony and how God changed your life. How can they argue about that? They can't climb inside of you and know. So when you tell the truth about how God changed your life, that really is not answerable by someone. They can look at your life and go, well, I guess so. So all this to say, this point C, you have an important story. And every individual has a story. Now, please listen. And I wrote all this out. Normally, I just say these things, but I wanted it in writing for you. Your particular story, please listen, please get this. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Your particular story, no matter what its details, is unique to you. There might be similarities, but it's unique to you. One testimony is not better than another. How could it be? God uses each of them for His glory. The story you have, you don't have to be ashamed of it. There might be elements of shame as a result of your life, as in mine. Some believers get saved and then their testimony stinks as believers. And then they walk again with the Lord and then don't. And then again and then don't. Listen, if that's your story and you're walking with the Lord today, that's your story. So embrace it. Use it for God's glory. Whatever your story is. Listen, you guys know this. I work you on this all the time. We measure value in the world by the uniqueness of something, don't we? Gold is worth more than silver because there's less gold than silver, so it's worth more. Silver is worth more than copper because there's less silver than copper. And so forth and so on. Pot metal doesn't have that much value because there's a lot of it. Diamonds are worth more than all those things pound for pound because there's less diamonds to be found. So we measure value by the uniqueness of something. Is that not just simply the truth? Is it the simple truth? Okay, question. The obvious. How many of you are there? Just one. So that means that your story is absolutely important because you're important to God. You're important to Him. So your story is important. It doesn't matter what it is. Embrace it and use it for God's glory. You know, you don't have my story. I have my story. I look at some of you and think, I wish I had their story at times. It would have saved me a lot of pain and heartache in my life. But you know what? I'm not walking around going, oh man, I wish I had their story. Well, you know what? You don't wish you had my story. Let me just tell you. You don't. I mean, I deal with things every day because of my story. But I'm thankful to God but He saved my wretched soul. That I came in contact with the gospel in a church service much like this. And I might not be very smart. And I'm not. I'm not. I'm not just saying. I'm really not that very smart. I'm Thomas. That's my name. Didymus, the copier. I just watch and I take stuff. That's how I learn. I'm not very smart, but I will tell you, I did a very smart thing one day. On July 2nd, 1989, in a church service like this, I was brilliant. I waxed brilliant. I did. It was the smartest thing I ever did. I received Jesus Christ, set aside my pride and all the junk that kept me from Christ all those years, and I received, humbly received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He changed my whole life. That was the smartest thing I ever did. So if you say I'm not very smart, I'd have to agree with you. But that was a smart thing to do. And I talked to lost people. I've had lost people say, "You're not very smart," to which I've said, right at this very moment, Jesus Christ personally is protecting you. Well, how can you prove that? And I said, because you don't know me. Because He's changed me. Because if you talked to me like that before, you'd eaten the knuckle sandwich. Sorry. See, I told you I got issues. But I'm actually a nice guy. Where's my wife? A nice guy, aren't I, honey? Yeah. What else are you going to say in public, right? But you can tell the truth. Rachel, let's ask my daughter. Am I a nice guy? Kind of. Valerie, my other daughter. My son in here. Where's Sam? You think your old man's a nice guy, son? That was not convincing. We're going to talk about you in just a moment. Listen, you have an important story. Don't worry about somebody else's. Maybe if you spend more time thinking about yours, you'd appreciate it more. Okay, point number two, real practical, organizing your personal testimonies. We've got to place value on our story by taking time to organize our thoughts. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians obviously did. He didn't just walk into this thing. He thought this stuff through. He was ready to go. Key elements to consider. First, be prepared. The Boy Scout motto. Practice your testimonies, especially your salvation testimony. This will help you not to panic, and it can be a great tool to help you stay focused. So you need to take time and sit down and write out some of your experiences, how you got saved, how God is at work in your life. You got to be prepared. Is there anything more important than this? Well, we put more importance and more value on other things. What about this? When giving your testimony publicly or privately, speak clearly. Don't talk in circles. Don't be random. Connect your life with the listener. Be precise with details. Many, many believers ruin an opportunity because they haven't prepared to speak clearly, to think through how they're going to say it. Well, I just don't want it to be mechanical. Well, that's fine if you have the gift of gab. But not everybody does. And so if you don't, then you need to practice. Listen, when I first started talking when I was 3 months old, I've always been able to communicate stuff. It's just part of who I am. When I was lost, I made a living on communicating things. Not everybody has the ability to do that. And especially if you do, why, shame on you if you don't practice it. You should be ashamed of yourself. And if you don't, you need to really spend time doing that and work a little bit harder at it. And guess what? When you work hard for the Lord, you know what He does? He blesses you. He blesses you. He'll bless you for that. And this next point is huge. Be honest about your life. Be yourself. We've already been talking about this. Don't try to be someone that you're not. At times you need to be discreet about certain personal details when speaking in public. Of course, there are times when I have to talk to Linda ahead of time and say, "Linda, can I share this publicly?" And my wife generally will say, sure, honey, go ahead. But sometimes she's like, you better watch sharing that. And I'm thankful for that. Some things you got to be very discreet about. But privately, you can be more open and say more things. But take some chances. Be honest about your life. Don't hold back. It's your story. Don't be ashamed of it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that you're a living epistle, known and read by men. For some people, we're the only Bible they're going to read, our life. So we need to tell them. And you need to be flexible for varying time allowances. You need to study your salvation or discipleship testimony or whatever it is. Be prepared to say it in a minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I've said my testimony 3 different times today. And in less than a minute. I gave you testimonies. I give them to you all the time about life experiences. Be ready to share those. And don't forget, remember, your story is designed to bring what? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very simple verse. You should commit it to memory. I was going to quote it. I have it committed to memory, but I wanted you to see it. It's a simple verse. Verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Listen, do it for God's sake. Our life is to be a living testimony of God's grace, not that we are perfect. How did you say it today? We're not a perfect people, we're a perfected people. We're in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ throughout our life. Praise the Lord. And sometimes it's more painful some days, isn't it? Than others. But we're to be a testimony of God's grace. So all of our infirmities and our weaknesses speak of God's transforming power, not ours. Pastor Hofelt, and I just want to thank you in front of everybody. Thank you, Pastor. You win a lot of people. You're a soul winner. Man, if there's a soul winner in our midst, it's Rufus Hofelt. He won my 92-year-old father-in-law. He won your daddy to faith in Christ before he died, Linda. Isn't that awesome? And he got saved, for real. I mean, he laying in bed in a nursing home, he was different. He was a different man. Thank you. But Rufus had the opportunity. I've been witnessing to my childhood friend for years, and Rufus led him to faith in Christ. And he got saved, and Rufus is discipling now. He's on his deathbed in a nursing home. Well, he's living in a nursing home. He's got a terminal illness. I wouldn't say he's on his deathbed, but he's not going to get better. And I talk to this guy, pretty much daily, Linda? And he's thinking differently. I mean, it's amazing. He told me, I mean, there's so many things. Let me pull one out. He told me the other day, he said on Friday, he said, you know, I used to try to read the Bible at times or when I'd hear it and I didn't understand it. He says, but now I read it. And he said, I understand exactly what it's saying. Could it be? Now you're thinking, I wish I could do that. Could it be that his faith is so genuine and so simple, he just simply believes what it says and doesn't make it that complex? His life is a testimony of God's grace. And you know what? Every one of his family members knows something's different about him. It's incredible. All right, let's talk about another practical issue, verbalizing and communicating. You guys doing okay? All right, let's see what time it is. Oh, okay. Make sure they're interested in hearing. It's always good to ask if you can share your testimony or talk about God in the Bible. Brian Clark incorporates this into his street evangelism training when you take teams to London, don't they, Pastor Jay? Or doesn't he? And when I started doing this I started asking people years ago if I could talk to them, and many people say, no, I'm not interested. And then I'm like, okay, we move on. But it helped me find, it helped me to be more effective in finding people that are receptive. Because when someone says, yeah, I really want to talk, I'm like, well, all right. Great. At least we know right up front. Now, understand this context. I'm not talking about fable here. Be a good storyteller. Your story. I bet you, oh, I'm not a good storyteller. Oh, I can't communicate the Bible very well. Well, let's see. I bet you can other things in life that are important to you. Take that as an example and apply it to this. How's that? Be persuasive, not pushy. We all, and listen, don't tell me. No. Don't tell me this. We all have the innate ability to persuade. My kids are experts at it. I listen to them talk to their mother and I'm like, I would actually give in on that. Your spouse, your employer, your employees, use your powers for God, for good, not evil. All right. What's next? Include meaningful Bible verses to complement and solidify your story, which means that you got to memorize Bible verses. There you have it. That's a good thing, isn't it? Avoid speaking Christianese. You know what that is. Words only born-again Christians are familiar with. Look, I'm not saying not to use them, but if you're not going to explain them, then don't. You might want to think through whether you use them. Even good Bible words, born-again and saved, are great Bible words. They just need to be articulate. Even from this pulpit, when I'll say them, oftentimes I will quickly articulate what they mean. Sanctified. Discipleship. What does that mean to people? They don't know what that means. So just be careful. Again, they might be good Bible words, but people don't read the Bible, don't know these Bible words or terms. And so if you use them, be prepared to explain them. And this is very important, so please think about this. Make sure, I already talked about this, make sure people understand that you came to a point of decision. This is huge. Most people here in America think that because they're not something, well, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Muslim, maybe they are, but those that think they're not, that they think that they're Christians automatically by osmosis. You know, so it's very important. Also, religious or church-going people, they will not have a testimony, and they'll have to come to grips with you coming to a point of decision and their lack of one. Come on, be honest. If you say, when did you become a Christian? And somebody says, oh, well, I've always been a Christian. What do you think? What do you think? Come on, somebody tell me. What do you think about them? They're lost. Isn't that what you think? Now, I'm not saying we can judge someone's heart. And maybe more investigation, we find out they did, but they might not have understood everything. But they understood the gospel, but they don't understand how to articulate it. That's possible. But that is what we think, isn't it? If somebody doesn't have a testimony, if they didn't come to a point of decision, there's no relationship with Christ. I mean, before you could marry your spouse, you had to come to the point of decision. Will you marry me? Linda, will you marry me? What if Linda would have said, oh, I just love you so much, Tom. You're so important to me. So it was a month ago, maybe a month ago. What day did you propose to Miss Bailey, Sam? A month ago? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I didn't think about that. I didn't mean to get him into trouble on that. About a month ago. We got photos and they got dates on them. All right, so Sam, I really didn't mean it that. It's a good thing. So Sam proposes to Miss Bailey. To Bailey Hawes. Bailey, are you embarrassed right now? Kinda, a little bit. And we have photos that they recreated. And Sam is kneeling down, and this is a true story. So he asks Bailey, he shows her the ring, big diamond ring. He says, Bailey, will you marry me? And Bailey, she's so surprised that she's not answering him.
really, isn't that the truth, son? And Sam's like, he's telling me the story, giving his testimony of what happened. And he says, I literally said, Bailey, you have to answer me. It's got to be something. Something. That's why we give him a ring. Yes. And Bailey, what did you say? You said, yes. So my son and Bailey are going to get married. Yay. But look, that wouldn't be happening. There would be no wedding if she wouldn't have come to a point of decision and said, yes. And listen, you're not saved if there was never some way, somehow, and it could have been a number of different ways, unless you said yes, unless you received, I receive you, yes, as my Savior. Or if you've never done that, you're not saved. People need to be brought to that, or understand that point of decision is important. And then look, close and open the conversation by asking them, if they were to die today, would they go to heaven? Or a question like this. Don't be afraid. They'll appreciate it after they get saved. Don't just share your salvation testimony with somebody and walk away. Give them a chance to respond. You got to close the deal, folks. Give them a chance to respond. One of the reasons why Rufus is so successful at soul winning, it's because at the end, he asked them, you want to get saved right now. You can get saved now. Isn't that the truth, Rufus? Isn't that really the key? Asking them. Many people witness and witness and witness, but they don't ever ask. And remember, you can say, if they get mad, say, well, now, wait a minute. I did ask your permission to talk to you about this. Nerk, nerk. Huh? I thought that would go over a little bigger. All right. And then pray to God about your story. Amen. Ask Him to direct you and help you prepare. Ask Him daily for people to share your story with, and He'll answer. All right, we're going to read this chapter and then we're going to finish. So we're going to do okay today. Turn to Acts 26. We'll finish here, and I won't work this. I'll just read these points as we're working through it, and we'll be done today. You guys all right? All right. And listen, the restaurant will be emptied out by the time you get there. So I'm doing you a favor. Instead of wasting time just standing around in line, you're hearing the Bible. Praise the Lord. You guys want to go out to lunch? Those of you who said amen afterwards? All right. Acts chapter 26. This is a biblical pattern that we follow whenever we teach people that go on mission trips. We usually work through this and show them Paul's salvation testimony before King Agrippa. Now, Acts 24, 25, and 26, it describes Paul's testimony before Festus, and he's the chief Roman officer that's in charge of Judea. And King Agrippa, this is King Agrippa II, and he's actually the eighth and the last king of the Herods. When you hear of King Herod, Herod is like a title, like Caesar. So he is the last King Herod, ruler in Judea. So Festus would usurp this guy's authority in judgments that concerned Rome. And Herod was the, this appointed king of the Herodian dynasty over Judea. And the Jews weren't happy about either one of these guys. But at any rate, Paul's giving it's really more of an inquiry, like, why are you in so much trouble, Paul? And he's kind of explaining what's going on. And here in chapter 26 is his testimony to Agrippa. So let's pick up where the story is here. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, and we're at a point of the investigation where Agrippa is now speaking to him, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. It's his story. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself. See the emphasis on it? It's his story.
this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." So he's asking him and complimenting him. He's not combative or pushy. He's being very gracious. "My manner," and by the way, Bible believers can be very combative and pushy, and that's why that combative, pushy Baptists don't win people to faith in Christ. Because they're jerks a lot of times. Lighten up, will you? I mean, we can all be jerks at times, but not all the time, okay? "My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for those for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews." Huh, that's pretty smart. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" They're saying I'm a heretic talking about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, but everybody knows it. It wasn't done in a corner. "And besides, King Agrippa, you believe in God. You think it's a big deal that he could raise somebody up from the dead? I've early thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because I too was like the Jews that are accusing me. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to what? Death." He was a murderer. "I gave my voice against them. Go ahead! Kill them! Stone them! Those dirty rats!" That's his testimony. Yikes, this is the greatest Christian that ever lived. How do you feel now? You don't feel so bad now. "And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to be blaspheme. He was forcing Christians to curse God's name. "And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest." So here, he's telling his story before, and how this applies to us. "Before I knew Christ, I lived and thought this way." In this part of your testimony, you want to share your spiritual background, what you thought of God, the Bible, religion, if you did it all. You want to mention other things that characterize your life and how these things affected your outlook on life. Even if you got saved as a child, there's some testimony you have. Think. Religious, dredging through the motions of church going, lonely, depressed, crazed, violent, alcoholic, whatever. There's many differing stories in this room as there are people, right? Whatever they are. So this is a pattern he's kind of sharing before he knew Christ. Now watch, pick up in verse 13. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Now, he has a very unusual testimony that we don't have. He was an unusual character. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul," that's why he called him Saul, "why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? Is that you, God? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Isn't that something? By the way, when people persecute you, they're actually persecuting Jesus Christ. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." He's telling how he got saved. Now, this is unusual how he got saved. And our salvation testimony isn't like this, but we have one, how we got saved. So what is it? "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." So this part of the pattern is how I received Christ. How I received Christ. At this point, you share the gospel, the plan of salvation, and the personal decision you made to become a Christian. You could explain what thoughts went through your mind and how you came to this important decision. And by the way, if you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. And you should do that today. You know what you should do? This whole message today we've been reading from the Bible, right? You should not be disobedient to this heavenly vision that you've just heard today. So first it's before I knew Christ, and then it's how I received Christ, and then the final part of this pattern, let's read verse 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus," I told them after I got saved what happened, "and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, like I did, and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." All I'm doing is telling people what the Bible says. That's what you should do. "That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." That's what people think about you when you start telling them how you got saved, especially if you get saved and you're older. If you get saved and you're younger and you go out in the world and you start telling people at school or at work or whatever how you got saved, you know what they think? You're crazy. It's okay. You're in great company. I tell people I am crazy for Jesus Christ. I love him. I got up one time with all my biker friends. I went to a party, and they wouldn't listen to me. And I jumped up on a coffee table, and I pulled the plug to the music, and it got dead quiet. And I'm not boasting of myself, but I stood up on that coffee table, and I screamed, "I am deeply and totally in love with a man!" And that got everybody's attention. And you know what they thought? What did they think, Linda? You thought I was crazy too. Yeah. Not so crazy. And I said, "The man's name is Jesus Christ." And I got to give him the goods. Maybe somebody got saved later in life, remembering that story. I hope so. To God be the glory. But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." He's persuading him. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Folks, almost ain't enough. Almost is no. If Bailey would have said maybe to you, Sam, that would have been no. Maybe. No, you needed a yes. And that's what the Lord wants. A yes. And you know what? The Lord's more happy than Sam is right now sitting next to Bailey. Happy she said yes. That's how the Lord feels about you, but more so. More so. Please turn your phone off. And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we're both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds that I have." I wish you'd get saved like me, except not have the same trouble I have. In other words, sometimes when you're witnessing to people, it's the people that are listening. Sometimes they get affected by this. Very powerful. When people are discipling out in public places, great testimony. Do it out in public. Fantastic. Some of you got saved in here. You got saved watching Derek and Sean Johnston discipling in Pizza Hut when you were the manager there. Bruce, raise your hand. Is that the truth? That's awesome. And when he thus spoke, and the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." In other words, they were ready to let him go, but he appealed to Caesar, so that means he had to give his story to these guys before they released him to go to Rome to give his story. So listen, Paul might have been imprisoned or a prisoner having to give a defense, but listen, he was really free because he was doing the work of the Lord. So sometimes if you ever feel like you're imprisoned by the circumstances of life, sometimes they can be the greatest opportunities you've ever had. So here, in this section, it describes after I received Christ. These events or changes took place. We explain our outlook on God, the Bible, and that life has changed. Then explain how this affected your behavior, your thoughts, your life in general. Paul explained how this purpose in life changed. How his purpose in life changed. And then he gives the ensuing results and his heart's desire. So it's before, how, and after. That's the testimony. That's the elements of a good testimony. Every believer has a story, and if you don't have a story today, you need to get one. So let me remind you again in closing, study these things and do them. Do them. There's nothing more important than to reach the lost world and to help other believers. This will bring glory to God. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please?